Klaus, good afternoon. It is sunny out and you have just got back from Japan.
I have. My clock is all messed up. I was hungry the whole morning.
Because I was going to say, I mean, you've been, as we've been noting on these podcasts, you have been to the U.S. multiple times. You have been to the U.K. You have been in Amsterdam. And now you've been over in Japan. Quite the jet-setting life. And now you're back here. And I'm going to give you 2 weeks to get your clock correct, given all of the travel in the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a fluid body clock going. I think I don't want to get it correct and I need to fly somewhere soon. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll be back in the US. So last week we talked about privacy. We talked about data usage and the design for that and how it's difficult to design for these situations.
Yeah.
And since that point, we have been blasted with multiple GDPR notifications. And I think we're going to continue to talk about that topic this week, given the prominence of these notifications, how many we've received, and just how difficult it is to design for these. So you said you wanted to kick us off at the top of the show. So
yeah,
take us away.
Yeah, let me describe you where all of this fails and why I really think that it's just one of these. As you were describing before we got on the show, we have the European-wide cookie law where every website has to basically give you a cookie wall or a point where you see, hey, we're using cookies, are you okay with that? And you have to click okay, and then the website starts working. It's been the annoyance of the European web.
Yes, yes. So for people who are not familiar with this in the US or in Asia, the EU passed a regulation, this was multiple years ago, I don't know how many, in a similar vein to GDPR, where they want people to be conscious of the information they're sharing. Every website that uses cookies must put a giant notification in your face telling you they're using cookies. And this is on every website you visit that is based in the EU. It is painful if you live in the EU because you're constantly getting these notifications thrown at you that say, hey, we're using cookies, see our terms and conditions. And you're like, I don't care. I don't know what you're doing actually with my information. So that's what that is. And it's not too exciting.
Let me describe to you this situation. After our project recently, we've been very busy and I decided I just wanted to get away from it all. And we booked a holiday to Japan. We flew into Tokyo and immediately after that, we took a train up into the mountains where me and my wife stayed in a ryokan, which is basically a Japanese style inn that has a big bathtub and you have these super nice rooms basically with the tatami mats on the floor and the sliding windows and you know it from photos. And of course there's Wi-Fi there. I decided not to care too much on about my phone and I just left it around. And the next morning as we wake up after the first day, I had 25 new emails. And I think about 20 of these were GDPR resubscribe emails. Because according to GDPR, if a company wants to keep your email address, which is personal information under the GDPR law, they have to actually ask you if you still want to be subscribed before May 25, which is the activation date of GDPR. So I had these 20 emails and me being on holiday, I basically marked them all as read and didn't care. Next morning, same thing happened. Another 20, 25 emails. And I also marked them all as read because I didn't feel like reading through terms and conditions while I was in this beautiful Japanese mountain town.
Would you have really cared had you been in Amsterdam? Do you think it would have been different?
I think it really depends on the moment. So for me, the moment was really like, I really don't want to look at these. Maybe back home behind a computer or whatever, I would have weighed them. But actually, since I didn't say yes to any of these emails, because I effectively just marked everything as read and continued my life, my email inbox has been super quiet and I love it. And I think this is one of the big differences with these previous privacy laws. Now there was one moment of annoyance, but now because the law states that you have to opt in, it's quiet and I know everything is safe. None of these companies are legally allowed to keep my email address after May 25. And I think this is a very big difference with other laws is the fact that it has switched not to a notification and automatically opting in by saying, oh, I've read this notification, but you have to actively opt in. And it's all the difference in the user experience of this.
Are any of these larger companies?
Most of them actually are, but some smaller ones.
Like, because here's what I found. So I haven't had the email sort of list of GDPR notifications, but on Google, on Facebook, on Instagram, I have, and since I use my phone a lot, I constantly have notifications popping up saying, "Hi, we have new terms and conditions. Please read them." And the best part about Instagram, and you mentioned this already, mine pops up to me in Dutch, even though I'm on the American App Store. Mine's like, "Do you want to read new terms and conditions in Dutch?" I'm like, "I don't want to read them in English. God knows I don't want to read them in Dutch."
Yeah.
So here's the thing that has been so prominent to me. You said a moment ago when I asked you if you had been in Amsterdam, would you have read them? And you said it really depends on the moment. And this is my entire problem with how these notifications or how these regulations are being enacted.
Exactly.
Because the moment is, I'm never, okay, let me back up. If I go to, let me say, a banking application or Instagram or Facebook or any chat application, my goal when I go into any of those applications is never to review terms and conditions. Now, I understand that these things change, that I need to be told, but when they are presented to me and they are interrupting the task that I'm trying to accomplish, of course, my first reaction is get these out of the way, right? Remove these things to me. And then once I have removed them, I have no idea how to find them. And before we did the podcast, both you and I were going over some of the notifications that we got, and I purposely not accepted the Instagram one because I wanted to go over it before this podcast. However, I can't figure how to trigger it because going to the terms page seems to throw me to like their classic terms, or when I went on, hey, see some new terms, it talks to me about, wait, hold on, I want to get this right. Hold on for one moment. Yeah, so I get like these headings of fostering a positive, inclusive, and safe environment. I'm like, I don't know what that has to do with my data, my information, or my privacy. And frankly, it sounds like something where you're going to show me a racially diverse photo if I keep scrolling, right? So all these notifications, and we talked about this last week, that there's no real good way that these are being presented. But what I noticed on, it was either Facebook or at one of the points on Instagram, I scroll to the bottom to accept or acknowledge, and there's all these questions like, and they're really good questions like, what do you do with my data? You know, what data is being collected from you? And I think to myself, I'd like to know those, but not right now. So I just click acknowledge or accept or whatever the button is, and then I go through and I cannot figure how to get back to these questions in an easy way without going to my normal laptop, going to Google and typing in terms and conditions for these different sites.
Yep.
So my whole problem with the way that this regulation is set up is it is purely about throwing notifications in your face at the wrong time. It is not really helping people understand their data because it is not having this privacy and understanding baked into the applications in a way that you can access it. It's purely like, this is an inconvenience for us as a company, and we're going to make it inconvenient for you so you don't pay attention to it, and then everything is just going to continue along as normal. So
yeah.
that's my monologue on my problems with the way that this is currently done from a regulatory point of view and how this is being currently carried out.
Yeah, and of course, the accepting terms and conditions is only one part of what GDPR means. There are other clauses that have to do with data portability, so the fact that you can actually download everything that they have on you so you can review it and see what it is. You have the right to be forgotten, so deleting an account now means fully deleting an account and not just sort of putting it on ice until you accidentally log back in and it turns all back on again. So it's a little bit broader than only accepting terms and conditions. But in the end, if we look at what happened recently to Facebook, where everybody was like, okay, this is today's quit Facebook day, or please delete your Facebook profile and here's how. Everybody's seen these links and videos on how to do it, but there was no significant impact on this. So even though we have all of these ways now by law implemented to revert either opting into a GDPR terms and conditions, pulling back your consent to any of the terms and conditions as possible, and the right to be forgotten as possible. But in our convenient lives in 2018, we don't even seem to feel that we need to delete something that is just purely there for fun, let alone something that we think we might need. So I have the feeling that we now have all these controls that we will never really use because it is inconvenient to remove these services.
No, and this has been a common trend that we talk about all the time on this podcast, that convenience trumps everything. Convenience will, you know, make you give up information, give up data, whatever that is, because you want that convenience. To the point that, you know, we had a great podcast, whatever, God, it was almost like a year ago now, where we talked about, you know, all of us just want to be put in the matrix because we want the ultimate form of convenience.
Yeah.
It's been a common trend about the convenience aspect. And here's one thing that really, I think, is painful that people haven't thought through about GDPR at a regulatory point of view. And I think, personally, I think the regulation is broken. I think it has good intent. However, I believe the way that it is being executed and carried out will not lead to any positive benefits, maybe with the exception of, like you said, making my inbox a little bit more silent.
Yeah.
But for the companies who are large, like Facebook, I was going to say and Instagram, but they're the same company. So Facebook or Google or Apple, even though they're quite good about privacy, they already have all your data. And they're going to throw up the notifications and you're going to accept it. And if they don't do it quite right, they're going to pay the fees. It doesn't matter for them. But for smaller companies who are trying to compete with these larger incumbents, they will have a real problem because they can't collect any data on users. And it hurts. It erodes a potential strategic advantage.
Yeah.
So to me, this regulation is almost cementing the position of the incumbents and making it much more difficult for anybody else to come up and try to dethrone these incumbents. So while the idea was trying to make your data and your privacy more transparent about what these companies are doing, it feels like it's almost doing the opposite. It's entrenching incumbents more, and it's not helping you understand how your data is being used. And even if it is, I read through some of these notifications. They're not super clear, even though I do believe some of them are trying to be.
Yeah.
It's just not helping you understand. So for me, last week, I said, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know how to handle this. I've thought through it a little bit, and it just seems like from the point that you are starting to design, or at the point that you are considering taking, you know, sort of control of data and privacy seriously, these are things that you create as a foundational element in the application. You do not bury it under settings, privacy, terms, you know, and all of this, but it is something that is much more prevalent. And I think Apple is probably the best example here because they talk about it, they promote it, but it needs to have a different flavor than it does now. And regulation in the way that it's done is not going to change. And this is just something that, to me, the regulatory aspects are broken and they need to reconsider how they do these things. But for companies who want to take this seriously, I think it needs to be rethought about how you approach it. In the same way that inclusive design is now a trend, maybe privacy design needs to be a trend, and a trend that sticks around.
Yeah. I have actually two things on this. I think the first thing that will start happening is that any new startup from around Silicon Valley that is just in one of the incubators there, instead of launching to the world, they will start launching to the world minus Europe. It's not that much of users that in the beginning you're not allowing access to your servers. And it's not really an issue if you're just starting out and trying to see what it is. It's just easier to not have to add all these functionalities like the right to be forgotten, data download, the way that they need to handle all of these different personal data fields.
Oh yeah, it's a complete, like, you have to put more people on a program just to handle this, and it's exactly an expense. You know, it makes startups harder.
Yeah, but the other side is that don't you think that we as users of these services, we could be annoyed by the fact that we cannot use this newest service. But I think after a couple of years, don't you think our mindset will change to we shouldn't give out our personal information to people who just handle it sloppily? Because we just need to get through this painful period of the next 2 years, I guess, until somehow a good design language for privacy will come out of this. And also we will be educated on why it's useful to do this. Maybe companies who are GDPR compliant will actually have less trouble with data leaks or people's information being abused by third parties or whatever. The privacy will be built into the platform, and therefore it will be less likely to be abused.
No, I like your framing of, I think you said a language for privacy or something to that degree. Like, are we going through an uncomfortable growing phase right now? Mm-hmm. I tend to be on the other side. I tend to be more pessimistic that companies will continue to be slightly more subversive with how they handle data. Like you said, for all the kerfuffle, since that's a great word, around Facebook, it really didn't make much of an impact. Not only that, but you know, Zuckerberg got on stage during the FA concert, during the FA conference, and was like, "Hey, yeah, so we're gonna start dating now, right?" It was just like, it was like, "Screw you guys, you're not gonna stop us." I mean, you could almost see him like walking on stage, giving everybody the finger, like when Rick and Morty do the alien spaceship. Like, this means peace and goodwill, right? Like, yeah. And when I go to Facebook's terms and conditions, I don't really see anything about, hey, what we're doing with your data and let us give you some nice sort of visual diagrams. I see Facebook's commitment and preparation. Throughout the preparation process, Facebook is committed to the following. And then it has like transparency and control. And yes, they do. I don't want to knock Facebook too much because I do believe they give you all, well, maybe not all, but they give you a ton of controls. It's just that no one really cares, and everyone wants to make a big deal of it, but nobody really is going to go in and change those controls. I mean, I don't want to say nobody, because I know a lot of people do. I do. You probably do.
Yeah.
But it's just not something you're going to manage on a normal basis. So again, I think maybe if that was, as you said, designed in a different way or rethought through, or the way the language is presented is slightly different, it could be a different form of design or a different, as we talked about before, is there a role for an ethics designer at a company? And maybe this is that same type of designer. There's ethics, privacy, personal data control, and maybe all of that's wrapped up into one person who is aware of regulation, who is aware of legal, and is aware how to translate those things into a positive user experience, because I don't believe it always needs to be a boring, crappy, interruptive experience.
No, it shouldn't be. And I think as designers, you need to take your responsibility. You know, when you design a website, the most annoying thing that you probably need to add if it's a public website that runs on ads is that you need to fit in a place for the banners. And over the years, designers have always complained, all these banner ads are ruining my design and they're in the way, and why would I hide them in the middle of the content? It's this annoying last step of a design. And I'm okay with that for ads, but I'm not okay with that for privacy. And I think it should not be the afterthought, like, okay, so how do we now work with this privacy thing? No, it needs to be the first thought. Do we really need these things from the user? Why do we need them? What does it mean for them? And as a designer, you can be the first line of defense instead of the last thought that's added to a platform.
I like that. I think we're hitting about our time.
Yep.
So is there anything that we want to say to wrap up? It's such a great in-depth topic. I'm sure we're going to come back to it more in the future as this continues to go forward. Do you want to get the last word, and I'll say my one thing, and then I'll give you the last word?
My only last word is let's keep an eye out and see if there is actually going to be good examples, because for now we've been very negative and only talked about the negative examples that we've seen. Let's see if somebody nails it and hand them out a prize for being the first one that got privacy right. And I don't want to say it's Apple, because I think Apple is really good at saying that they're good at privacy, but I don't know if they actually are.
Fair statement. I think my last words would be, if you are a designer and you are doing this by regulation, you should give me two buttons. And I know people don't like to make those buttons equal weight, even though they should be, but please don't just give me one button that says agree, and then you're like, there's nothing else. Because I've seen a few of these where I'm like, okay, you're not complying to the regulation, you're not complying to the legal standards, and you're just sort of being a dick because you're like, hey, here's all these things we updated. Agree. And there's nothing else I can do. You're like, really, guys? Like, that's not helping. So, so if you are a designer on this, you know, please be thoughtful and please try to look at it from a positive user user experience example, customer experience. It doesn't always have to be boring. I think we've talked before that things like user management, billing, privacy rights, all these things that designers normally consider, you know, to be quite boring are actually areas that I feel over the next decade designers are going to play quite a large role in making these a lot better. So I hope designers really see things like GDPR and other situations of regulation as something to seize as an ability to improve an experience and not simply comply.
Yep.
Okay, man, we'll get some rest. I know you're probably going to fall asleep right after we hang up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, we are going to be back on a weekly schedule now that we're both back in Amsterdam. So I'm looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Yeah. Tomorrow's Google I.O.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see next week if they introduce anything interesting or if it's just going to be another API conference.
No. Okay. So we already got a topic for next week. Awesome.
Cool.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, man.
Later.